For anyone visiting and living in central Tokyo, come visit the Nakameguro Tap Room from Baird Brewery. Opened in 2008, Nakameguro Tap Room is the first Tokyo area tap room from Baird Brewery. Their kitchen specializes in New Haven style appeats, which I have told you is the best style of Neapolitan pizza. New Haven style places a high emphasis on high temperature baking, fresh seasonal toppings, and a crispy light crust. Combined with all the classic Japan-based Baird beers on tap, enjoy all vintage beer hall feels at Nakameguro Tap Room. There's even a sofa area and a large TV screen great for sporting events. Only a 2-minute walk from Nakameguro Station, the tap room is open daily until 10 p.m. For more information, visit bairdbeer.com.
You know, there's so many ramen restaurants, right? Tokyo, for everyone's reference and your reference, there's about 3,000 to 4,000 in Tokyo. The Tokyo metro area, if we include Saitama, Kanagawa, Chiba, it's about 8,000. So there's plenty of choices. I think for me, of course, like it has to be delicious. They have to be, you know, maybe open to receiving a group of people, right? Also, it has to work logistically. And I say this because the original tours, like I called it the Insider Ramen Tour, this tour format was basically I sit down with people for coffee for the first hour. Okay. We talk about ramen history. There's a ramen quiz. And I will present, you know, maybe 5 ramen shops in that particular neighborhood. And I'll be like, hey, this is what this place is known for. I've got little graphs and stuff with their strengths. So that would be the Insider Ramen Tour. I took it. I looked at everything with a magnifying glass. So that was like the first tour, right? But eventually what it evolved into, or I should say what became the most popular tour, was a ramen tasting tour where I would partner with ramen shops and provide small portions, 1/4 size of your standard ramen bowl, a mini ramen tour, if you will. So now the most popular tour is exactly that, visiting 3 ramen shops for 6 mini bowls. And for that, it definitely is important for me to work with ramen shops, you know, that are open-minded, right? They, you know, some ramen shops of that 8,000, let's say, would be like, what are you talking about? Small portions, that, why would we even bother? So all those things I mentioned, I think that's what basically brought me to the ramen tasting tour.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill, cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi and sumo, anime, and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on, people that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Hello there. Welcome to the Made in Japan podcast. I am your wacky host, Meljo Catalan. And if you're new to this channel, welcome. It's good to have you along. First off, I just wanted to say Made in Japan podcast is mostly a donation-based podcast. So if you can, please visit ko-fi.com/Made in Japan podcast. That's ko-fi.com/Made in Japan podcast. All donations goes to the production and the beverages for my guest. And other news is that when this episode comes out, I am probably going to have a new YouTube channel. I realize that I know some listeners prefer to use YouTube to listen to some podcasts. So I'm going to just start with this episode. It's going to be just audio format, but maybe down the line, I'll think about doing some type of video medium. But, you know, I just like to keep it in the audio form, but who knows? We'll see how, you know, if the video tickles my fancy, I guess. But yeah, just to let you all have, you know, get a heads up, I am going to start a YouTube channel. So most likely it's going to be Made in Japan podcast. But let's move on. I know you are here getting fired up for my next guest. And what a wonderful guest that we have on today. He goes by the name of Frank Stiegel. Frank is the founder of 5 AM Ramen. It's a ramen blog, and Frank is the ramen wandering warrior through Japan and Tokyo, of course. He goes around Tokyo and throughout Japan tasting and making ramen blog posts for different types of ramen. So with that coincidingly, he also does ramen tours. So for those of you who are really interested in ramen, this is the episode for you. So yeah, I'm just gonna let Frank tell his story, and without further ado, this is Frank Stiegel, the founder of 5 AM Ramen. And here we go.
Having me, my God.
Well, I'm gonna call out the elephant in the room. Is I'm still a firm believer that you really don't like ramen.
Oh, I hate it. I can't stand it. It's all a facade. It's all part of the.
I look at your videos, and I'm like, I swear, after they say cut, he spits out the noodles on the floor, and he's like, man, I am tired of this job.
It's disgusting. I'm actually more of a pasta guy.
No.
Wait, hopefully this isn't edited in such a way that my sarcastic face is, maybe not capturing me.
Don't worry about it. We'll get it going. But, here's my actual real first question.
Yeah.
Is, do you like bok choy?
I do like bok choy, yeah. I'm a fan. Yeah, for sure.
I know when we first met, we started talking about the Philippines a little bit.
Yeah.
I knew you were Filipino-American, but I wonder if he knows one of my favorite soul foods of... I'm from Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said bok choy for a second. Bok choy.
No, not bok choy.
Bok choy, yeah.
Bok choy.
Like La Paz. Yeah. Okay.
And that's my roots. That's my family. I was literally born in La Paz.
Yeah.
The hospital. And that was probably... I left the Philippines when I was 6 years old, and my memories of my Lola, because my parents were living in Africa at that time. My mom gave birth to me in La Paz, went back to Nigeria, so going back to work. So my grandma, my Lola, was taking care of me. And my first memory of being local was going into the wet market and she would buy her fish. She would buy her vegetables, and when she took me to the original La Paz Pachuela place, and I was like 5, 6 years old, and I was like, what is this magical golden bowl? Fast forward 20 years, I'm in Japan, and my first ramen bowl was like Koko Ramen, which is Mokonsu, right?
Yeah,
not the same,
but
I was like, my brain was sparks, like it was like a time travel. Like,
right.
This is like bok choy.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, because I hear about this. I was wondering about you. Did you ever? What's your experience?
With I was almost thinking. First of all, cheers.
Cheers, bud. Yeah.
And excuse me, as to ask that question. I'll point out before maybe that moment where there was that connection, but the brain spark.
I want to know your brain spark.
I'm going to point out one. There's actually a ramen restaurant in Manila that does that as a ramen. It's even called La Paz ramen. I think I'm not even joking. I've had it there. I actually met the owner there, and you should check it out. It's in San Jose, I think. Real quick. Let's see. Of course, I'm typing in San Jose Ramen. It's going to show California before, Manila, as I'm on my phone here.
That's crazy. La Paz Ramen. Did they call it La Paz Ramen?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's what...
That's insane.
Let's see. Yes, Oyasumi Ramen. There it is. I actually wrote a blog post about this place. So if you have a chance, Oyasumi Ramen, they do exactly that.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, yeah. And of course, it's very tasty. Yeah.
So, I mean, this leads to me, when you were a kid growing up.
Yeah, so for me, so I grew up in Tokyo. Mom's Filipino, so I did eat a lot of Filipino dishes at home. The fondest memories I have of like ramen are her making Sapporo Ichiban at home, shio, miso in particular.
Did she, like, spice it up?
Shoyu. Too? Yeah, spice it up in terms of like she would add like fresh vegetables, egg, just making it healthier, so fresh toppings. But just those smells, you know, MSG included, right?
You gotta love it.
You gotta love it, you know, as I think it's part of the experience. So that's my earliest like memory of ramen, right? My mom cooking in the kitchen, just those associated smells, the sights and sounds, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Man, okay. So, like, if you don't mind me asking, like, what brought your mom and your parents to Japan? Like, what was your...
No, for sure. Yeah. So they actually, they traveled a lot, and they met in Singapore, and they at one point decided to settle down in Japan, and they're actually both teachers. So they were teaching in Japan at an international school and decided to stay here. And then, fast forward, I was born here, my brother as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Did you go to the same school?
I did.
How was that?
I think it's always difficult, you know, when your parents teach at the school, especially when you're younger, Well, I guess older too, right? Because, kids are going to be like, But I guess, I didn't have too many issues. Like, it was, of course you have smart Alex and stuff like that, but no big issues. So dad was a math teacher. I'm horrible at math. Clearly didn't get that gene.
Here we are.
Mom was an elementary school teacher.
Okay.
Doing everything.
I just was so fascinated about, like, I've met many people very similar stories, in Tokyo. And so I first and foremost want to give a quick shout out to But Where Are You Really From, a podcast.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon them because I was just like doing a little bit of research. And one thing that really just connected with me was you mentioned about your identity and more like a gift as being a chameleon.
Yeah.
And when I was listening to it, I freaked out because we all, as an Asian American, living in Connecticut, upper middle class Connecticut. So I've always realized that was, growing up, it was hard.
Yeah.
But I also said that I felt like my power was being a chameleon too.
Yeah, yeah.
But like secretly, like me and my brothers and sisters, like we knew how to behave in certain social groups and switched up. And so it was like,
hey, cheers to that. Cheers to that.
It's kind of weird. You used that metaphor, and I'm like, he's like understanding, like he's vibing what I'm vibing about too.
Right. Interesting. No, I think, even though we grew up in different parts of the globe, right? Like that similar experience, right? Not being from there and being able to, as you said, as a chameleon, relative to who you're with, like kind of taking on. Yeah.
Like it was like telepathy with that, like, wait, we think the same. Like it's weird.
So there was another spark
right.
in your headphones when you're listening to that.
But here now in Japan, your life in Japan, and you mentioned it, I think the same way as well, like whether I'm floating in like a mostly foreigner group of people, or I'm just like mostly with like a deep down in Shitamachi like community.
Yeah.
With, like, a bunch of just, my Japanese family kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you feel that way too?
Yeah, I think, it's nice to be able to go back and forth too, right? I think, like, you just mentioned two examples where, like, you have access to both sides, and maybe not everyone has access to that, right? Like, if you don't speak a certain level of Japanese, not that you need to, but like speaking Japanese, for example, or, being, having family that's Japanese, it gives you access to that, right? Maybe there are some people that live here that might not speak the language and will not be able to do that, right? Kind of dive a little bit deeper. In the same regard, maybe Japanese that have never spoken to a foreigner before, right? So it is kind of fun to go back and forth in that regard. Absolutely, I feel the same way. Yeah.
So this leads me to your company, you know, ramen. Even cooler guys, and like you're loving ramen. So we got to go, because I think what you're trying to do is trying to bridge that connection. I think most people will understand it. I'm not here, Frank, to just like tell, you know, I'm not here to like ask you, like, what is ramen? No. There's a lot of like resources for that. I'm here to want to know about you. Like, where did that spark, like, okay, I really want to show people about ramen. When did that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, aside from that Sapporo Ichiban memories, right? I think I really only started to appreciate ramen at a much later age. You know, as an adult, it's just like, wow, there's so many different styles. Like, you can really go deep down the ramen rabbit hole, if you will. Like, there's just so much to be learned. And I think, you know, that's, of course, tied to Japan, right? I mean, when people really dedicate themselves to, like, a craft, like, it's insane, like, how many directions you can really go in. And that's what we've seen with ramen. It's got a relatively young history, and it's something that continues to evolve and get better and better. And that's maybe what separates ramen from some other Japanese noodle dishes, where it's like, this is sushi, this is not sushi, you know? Ramen, it's, I always mention this, but ramen, it's not so simple. And as such, it's given rise to a lot of different ramen styles. And that's where I find fascinated ramen. And I think as an adult, that was my sort of moment. I can't put a particular like timestamp on it. Like, okay, it was at this moment I was like, wow. But as an adult, I'm like, ramen is so cool. There's so much to learn. And that's kind of got me hooked.
Try to be as poetic as possible.
Yes. Oh, sentence. Boy.
Ramen is...
life, but that's so cheesy. That's like, I know, I was like avoiding that one, you know. That's so boring. I was like, oh god, I don't want to do his life. And then I'm like, and then 4 seconds later, I'm like, that's all I have.
I was like,
I think I need more beer. If you give me 4 more beers, I will be as poetic. I will be like Yeats. I will be, oh my god, it'll be. He show you ramen river flows like a majestic.
And it's like, now Frank is now selling t-shirts at Tokyo Station.
Ramen is life. No one will buy them. No one will buy them. For good reason.
Next to the Tokyo Bananas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the Tokyo Bananas. Like, people are buying those, you know, even if, like, it's not really... And for everyone's reference, like, yeah. You know, you go to Tokyo Station, right? There's always, you know, there's, like, omiyage, right? Basically, souvenirs from whatever region of Japan you visited. So if you maybe... have forgotten to buy something sometimes at Tokyo Station, right? You can find omiyage that might be from that region. Anyways, Tokyo has its own omiyage. It's like Tokyo Banana. It's like, what is it? It's like a cream-filled kind of like pastry.
Yeah, pastry. Like a shortbread?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But it's totally, like, it has nothing to do. It's kind of like Tokyo. It's like people sat down in a boardroom and say, all right, like, you know, let's come up with something for Tokyo. Like, I don't know why it's bananas. It's good, but yeah, it doesn't really... Anyways, yeah, like...
Even more, like, it's funny, like, if you go visit Tokyo and you go back to, you know, where you're living and give, like, your relatives, you know, that souvenir.
Yes, yeah.
Tokyo Banana. Some people will be a little bit disappointed.
Like. Yeah, no, you go to another part, you go to Shizuoka, for example, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, this company, they've been making dried Bonito flakes for hundreds of years, you know? Here it is, this beautiful packaging. And it's like, hey, I came to Tokyo, here's a banana. So, and again, they're very delicious, right? Yeah. There's just not the history there.
There's no one.
Yeah, it's kind of like... strange.
Yeah. Well, it's like going to New York and coming back and like giving you a I love New York.
Yeah, it's very touristy. Yes. So my Ramen is Life t-shirts would be in the same section, I think. Actually, they'd probably be in a storeroom, like not even like you know, on display. No. They're like, how do we sell these? This is not working out. Give me 10 minutes. Hopefully it'll come back. A better ramen is blank than what I just said.
Oh, I'm crying now. You made me cry. But anyways, Frank. So let's go back. let's talk about 5 a.m. ramen.
Yeah.
How did you get it going? Because I know it's, I can imagine being like a tour guide, it's like a tough business here, right? I don't really know.
Yeah.
So can you walk me through how did you get your business going?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, so 5amramen.com is basically like a blog. This ramen shop is here. This is what they serve. This is a good reason to visit. So basically like a blog. TokyoRamenTours.com as well is basically when people are visiting Japan, or even for people that live here, like taking them to the best ramen shops in a more organized and structured tour format. So I was working at a job, a desk job, if you will, like so many of us. And at one point I started doing the tours while I was doing that job. Ramen tours. This is pre-COVID, of course, mind you.
It was.
And I was like, wow, this is actually lucrative. You know, I can marry my love of ramen and also, have a sustainable income from this. So I decided at one point to leave the job that I was in and do the tours full time.
So did you just make a website and then...
Exactly.
Do marketing, I don't know, advertising for your social media?
Well, my wife probably helped me with the website a lot. I'm like a 70-year-old man. I've gotten much better. I'm like, what's this little button here? What does this do? But yes, long story short, absolutely. Yeah. Built a website.
Yeah.
I use different tools like Airbnb, for example, to be like, hey, these are ramen tours we're doing. You can book through Airbnb. And then eventually, at one point, with the website, got a lot more direct booking. So that became, full-on business.
Talk to me about your very first tour. Were you nervous about it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I can't even remember. Well, I like to joke around a lot, but I'm actually, very calculating in that, before the first official tour, I did several trial tours with friends.
Okay.
Hey, give me some feedback. This is, let's do a live trial.
Do they
kind
actually,
of thing.
role play?
Oh, my God. My wife was the best role play. She was brilliant. She was like, oh my God, she was like perfect because she would ask all the great questions.
Yeah, really.
And also, kind of put me, it's what I needed, right? She is so brilliant, with that stuff. So she was the best role player.
That was awesome. It's like, take me to the best gluten-free ramen shop right now.
Thankfully I didn't get that question, because then we would be on a train. I'd be like, there are maybe two gluten-free ramen shops in all of Japan, right? As you know, right? It's not, even though a lot of Japanese too are finding out they're, not able to eat gluten, right?
Well, let's give a shout out to Ali, because I think this is the main reason why you're here.
Yes.
So, because Ali, if ever, your listeners go back to episode 45, she was a wonderful guest too, by the way. And it brings up the question, how do you put up with her? She's amazing, and she's really, I see her she's like a powerhouse when I talk to her, right? So I can imagine her being like that, role playing in this stickler client. I'm not really satisfied.
Absolutely. I think it's maybe more how does she put up with me? probably is the better question. I always joke with her, babe, I think I'm more of an introvert. And she gives you this eye rolling. So during the pandemic, when I didn't have the tours, picture me and her at home and me yapping on rah, 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 ramen. I think I like shio today, shio ramen. I haven't eaten. So for her, dealing with me, an extrovert at home, with no outlet, with no tours, too, right? That's another subject. But it's probably just as much. How does she put up with me as it is me putting up with her?
I was just curious. It's been really intense.
For sure.
Really
yeah, no, I think with any couple, right? Sure, the same with both of you, right? You both work together as a team, right? You both have your strengths and weaknesses, and you know, for me, it was very challenging, of course, during the pandemic, right? That's a separate subject. But, you know, having someone that's, you know, willing to support you during those tough times, right? It goes both ways, of course, right? That's what makes you, of course, a strong, you know, couple, right? Yeah, being there for the other person, right? Whether it's the form of being a critical, you know, role-playing tour guest or client, right? You know, that's going to help you grow, right? Or someone that's like, hey, man, like the sun will be, you know, shining brightly again when tourism is back. Whatever it is, right? You know, that, yeah, that support, she was everything. Yeah.
That's great.
And she is everything.
I'm really glad to hear that because what a smart idea to do some trial runs first. Like, that's amazing that you got great friends to go on.
Those poor friends, yeah. Well, they get free ramen out of it, so yeah, they get, it's not a...
I'll be like, free ramen, okay.
You're welcome to join the next trial when there is another one, you know, always trying to launch new ramen tours, so yeah.
Nice.
Always need some guinea pigs, you'll get delicious ramen. Anyway, so yeah.
So, when, can we talk about the time frame?
For sure.
Start? Like, when did that...
So, yeah, I started doing the tours essentially... 2018, around there. What was it? It was at the 2018, maybe end of 2017, whenever guides were allowed to be guides, because in Japan it's a little strict about, like, you know, it's also gray, but essentially I started that, and then, yeah, you know, had a great run. COVID hit, of course, the world was turned upside down, and you know, things changed very dramatically overnight for all of us, of course, but maybe more so in the travel and hospitality space than any other, right?
So I'm trying to imagine, like, this is tough because, you know, especially in Tokyo, when you're doing your tours, there's some great places. So how did you, like, decide what are the spots to go first? Like, how did you tailor for the clientele? Like, it's a day? Is it a whole day?
So it's, you know, basically from 1 hour to 3 hours, and that's a great question. I think, you know, there's so many ramen restaurants, right? Tokyo, for everyone's reference and your reference, there's about 3,000 to 4,000 in Tokyo, the Tokyo metro area, if we include Saitama, Kanagawa, Chiba, it's about 8,000. So there's plenty of choices. I think for me, of course, like, it has to be delicious. It has to be delicious. They have to be, you know, maybe open to receiving a group of people, right? Also, it has to work logistically. And I say this because the original tours, like, I called it the Insider Ramen Tour. This tour format was basically I sit down with people for coffee for the first hour.
Okay.
We talk about ramen history. There's a ramen quiz. And I will present, you know, maybe five ramen shops in that particular neighborhood. And I'll be like, hey, this is what this place is known for. I've got little graphs and stuff with their strengths. So that would be the Insider Ramen Tour. I took it. I looked at everything with a magnifying glass. So that was like the first tour, right? But eventually what it evolved into, or I should say what became the most popular tour, was a ramen tasting tour where I would partner with ramen shops and provide small portions, 1/4 size of your standard ramen bowl, a mini ramen tour, if you will. So now the most popular tour is exactly that, visiting 3 ramen shops for 6 mini bowls. And for that, it definitely is important for me to work with ramen shops, you know, that are open-minded, right? They, you know, some ramen shops of that 8,000, let's say, would be like, what are you talking about? Small portions, that, why would we even bother?
Yeah.
So all those things I mentioned, I think that's what basically brought me to the ramen tasting tour.
Because I can imagine that must have been a grind for you to go around to these ramen shops and be like, you know, hey, can I, like, do a tour?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going as well. I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, man,
you would be fine. Same reason we're sitting in this beautiful bar, you know, we have the sofas to ourselves.
That there are some amazing ramen spots where the master is, you know, he's so proud and he's just kind of like, you know, very strict. Right?
Yeah.
And you walk in and you're like,
I do things, you know, it's intimidating, right? Even for me, someone that eats ramen all the time, as you've experienced too, right? You go into some of these places, like, they're definitely not open-minded, you know? This is what I do, and this is what I'm going to do every day until I die. I mean, I'm not going to make small portions or otherwise, right? Let alone rolling up with, like, 10 tourists, for sure. So, you know, what helped me, I mean, I have a sales background, and not that this is, like, the one thing that helped, but... I think, like, you know, looking at my lead list, if you will, I was like, okay, I go into a ramen shop, and because I'm eating so much of it, right, I'm also, like, taking mental notes. I'm like, okay, how are the staff? Are they, like, receptive to me? Are they receptive to the other customers? Is this ramen that I like something that necessarily visitors to Japan would like, right? Is there enough space if I am doing the tasting tour? You know, like, is it what... you know, do they take a break for lunch, right? Maybe, you know, some ramen restaurants will stop at 3, right? Reopen at 5. Some places, though, a lot of places I partner with, they'll be going all the way, you know, from morning until evening. So things like this, you know, I think allowed me to whittle it down to, like, a number of places to approach. And I was very fortunate because a lot of these places I had some relationships with. So it was an easier in from the beginning. But you're absolutely right in that I think a lot of places would be like, excuse me, what are you talking about? You know,
it's like, get out of here, youngin.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, we're good, you know, like, we don't need, we have our customers, you know, we're okay.
And it's hard, because I think the same thing, because when friends or family come visit me in Japan, I would take them to those specific shops.
Yeah.
And they also feel the intimidation too.
Yeah.
But they said, man, that was a great bowl of And it's just like, I wonder how could we, you know, bring more, but maybe they just don't need it. They don't really.
Some of those places, yeah, they're like, you know, I think the places that are super small, right? And, you know, only are open for a limited time. Well, I say that, like, maybe only some places, even 3 hours a day, right? Very short operating hours. Like, those places are like, we're good. You know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of these places, like, maybe the master chef there, right? The master is like, only I can make the ramen. No one else is gonna touch anything, you know? You there, you're gonna, you know, like, basically deal with customer orders, but I. So that's great in the sense of, like, you can be assured of quality, right? It's that obsessive Japanese nature. No, only I will deal with it. I'm not going to outsource this. The issue with that, though, is, of course, if you want to scale or something, or maybe have a bigger place, is that, yeah, you can't do that as much, right? So it's a tricky balance, I guess, is what I'm saying, right? We're so fortunate that the ramen is delicious as a result of that. But it also means that, you know, yeah, you do have to wait a little bit longer, maybe, because one person is making the ramen. You know, so it kind of goes both ways, I guess, in that sense. So that's a very good point. Yeah.
It's really good. I do want to give a shout out of one shop that is near and dear to my heart. It's a shop that you've been to and you put on your blog.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was during, like, one of my darkest times when I was very poor. I didn't speak Japanese, and I was in I was staying in a homestay family, you know, looking for a job.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was living in Ebara Nakanomi.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I saw your blog post of Takano.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the listeners, check out, if you ever come to Japan, Frank and I will attest about Takano in Ebara Nakanomi. It's a mom and pop shop. Okasan and Otosan.
Yeah.
My homestay family, I see them as my aunt and uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very close with them. So I was so down and out. I had no money. And I remember going to that shop and just filled with joy. Eating ramen with my homestay parents, and they were talking to me. Mama, Okasan was preparing the broth, and Otosan here is the noodles. Like, that's how they are. And just being there in this close-knit community, you know, as like you said, like, many ramen shops are open only for 3 hours or so. I've never felt so accepted in a Japanese community. And that was the first time when I was like, I'm maybe really down in my luck right now. God damn it, I'm feeling like I'm part of a family right now.
That's a beautiful, beautiful story. I want to even ask you more about that. Like,
it is that I haven't been there recently.
Yeah.
It's still one of my favorite ramen shops.
And for everyone's reference, like, this is like, that is a perfect shining example, right? Because it is very much, as you said, like a mom and pop place. It also happens to be one of the top ranked ramen restaurants in all of Japan. It is like, no, it's insane. Like, it's,
I know we'll get into it now. Because you're starting to do more with like instant ramen. I went to My Basket supermarket.
Yeah.
They have their own instant ramen premium noodles set. I was like, that's Takano. That's awesome. And I bought one and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the taste.
It's amazing how they can replicate that too, right? The technology and like, you know, oh my God, whole other discussion. And that emotions you have talking about it, right? It's so great that like, of course, that's there because you were there with your homestay family, right? But that coupled with like amazing food, right?
It was like,
it's just overwhelming, right? It's just,
we always talk about it as soul food, and yes, that's what ramen is.
And that, like, the way they prepare it, right, with just such care, right? And that's, like, you know, going back to that, like, you know, this recipe will die with me, right? Only I will make it. Takano represents it, right? Because she, you know, and she's basically the boss there, right? Like, you know, she's such a sweetheart. Like, you know, her being like, I am going to make this ramen, you know, like that. She is like the soul of that place, right?
I was
right?
Just so happy you visited it.
No, for sure. And like that cannot be outsourced, right? Like, I mean, yeah, of course, if you want to scale all that, right? Like, you know, she is everything. Of course, they're a team and all that. Right. But oh my God, just hearing that, I'm so happy to hear that.
Oh, good.
Amazing.
Did you bring clients to...
I have not, because the line is so long. You know, like, it's insane.
It's 3 hours.
It's like, it's crazy. No, I think like if there was a disclaimer, you know, like it's just like, and it's it's just that weight, right? But as you said, like even though people like literally from all over Japan, right, will go there because it's one of the top ranked places, right? But it still retains that super local community vibe, right? Locals and people from across Japan loving it.
So I want to reflect that, bounce that question back to you.
Like, yeah.
Is there a ramen shop that really means a lot to you?
That's a good question, you know, and like I get this of course a lot, right? And having eaten like literally at thousands of places, like it's so hard to like pinpoint, like is there that one ramen shop that really like speaks to me. I think just like the horrible ramen is life quote. I'm gonna need 10 minutes to think about. I should have come more, better prepared. I'm trying to. You know, I'm digging in my database now.
Let's make it easier. We're in the Meguro-ku area. Around here.
Ooh.
Let's promote.
Yeah.
Meguro.
Yeah.
Shoot out some of your tasty stuff. I noticed you talked about the one right there in Yutenji.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new one. I haven't.
Breakbeats is amazing. Like, okay. Breakbeats, DJ Yanase, I believe his name is, he was a DJ in Canada, a Japanese guy, and he was, from my understanding, just making ramen at home as a hobby. Beautiful, beautiful, very carefully constructed bowls. Fast forward to about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, he opens up a ramen shop in Yutenji, yes, where we are, Meguro-ku, and it is the talk of the town. Since opening, like, it's become so popular, and you can understand why. I went, like, the ramen is amazing. You know, he is ticking all the boxes. It's beautiful ramen.
Your video that you made,
yeah.
By the way, I cannot look at your videos because it's just like...
Well, I have the ramen shop to thank, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Just for example, Breakbeats.
Yeah, yeah.
The video how you pan up, I'm like, I just ate lunch.
Always room for more. Yeah, always room for more. Squeeze in Breakbeats.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna make it out there. Definitely.
You need to. And now they actually have a system where, you know, some popular ramen shops, right? You have to go in the morning to reserve or write down your name for a slot to come back later in the day. So when I visited, they didn't have that.
Okay.
But I think they're so popular to the point where, yeah, it's like you have to do that now.
A lot of the big meals.
Yeah, and you know, if you're already in Meguro-ku, like, it's fine. If you go there in the morning, you just hang out in Yutenji, like, it's fine. it's better than maybe waiting, you know, for an hour or whatever, right? But yeah, they just recently introduced that. That's how popular they've become. Breakbeat's amazing.
Okay, great. Oh, anywhere else?
You know, if we're keeping it in Megacron, yeah. there's a number. Yeah, there's so many. You know, I'll exclude any places I use on the ramen tours, but yeah.
Can I give a shout out? Recently.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of the last 5 years of Tokyo Tsukemen.
Yeah.
And over there in Ikejiri Ohashi, Warito.
Yeah, Warito's so good.
But there's, I go there, I don't know, once every 2 months or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Warito
is so good. Warito is one of the best tsukemen places in Tokyo.
So this is my next question, because I love tsukemen. And tsukemen
is dipping ramen, for everybody's reference. Yeah,
it's a dipping
deconstructed ramen, noodles and broth separate.
And so this is my trouble that I get. I wonder if you experience this trouble with clients, is when family and friends come here and they've never had tsukemen,
yeah,
I bring it to my favorite, like, for example, Warito. Like, even my friends would be like, why do I have to work? Why do I have to actually dip this? Like, just give me the bowl with the broth with the noodles in it. And I'm like, dude, just relax.
I think at that point, it's like you almost want someone to feed you. You know, I think you still have to move the chopsticks or the fork or whatever it is. Maybe. Nothing against, of course, like, I'm afraid your friend's a wonderful person. But yeah, there is a little more work involved. But if you think about also just walking to get there or whatever, you know, it's like, I don't think I'm,
but I was just,
you know, you're not running a treadmill. I haven't personally, you know, when I've eaten tsukemen with other people, right? But I think a lot of people will comment, like, you know, can't I just dip or toss the soup on top of the noodles? You can, but I will probably leave and not be able to visit again. You know, I won't. Jokes aside, you know, I don't want to be like, what is it, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld about it. You know, it's like, no, you know,
right.
Like, don't want to be strict to that level. But no, tsukemen is meant to be enjoyed in that way,
exactly.
Right? The soup is, you know, especially Warito, for example, right? The soup is so rich and potent. Like, it's not going to work if you just dump the soup on top of the noodles. A little bit of the noodles at the time. And when you do that, just enough of the soup, that otherwise really potent and thick soup, is just clinging enough to the noodles, right? So it needs to be in dipping form. That's the whole point, right?
I think, so with, let's say, Warito or the other tsukemen chefs, I feel some of those masters are like, we are a tsukemen chef, not ramen, we are tsukemen.
Yes.
If you want tsukemen, this is it.
Yes,
like,
yes.
So I get that vibe with Warito.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it. It's just, I think, maybe you can expand more. It's more about the noodle, isn't it?
That's a big part of it, right?
Yeah.
Because when the noodles, and these noodles are normally thick, right? You know, super thick. They take a long time to make. I always joke about this, but if you're in a rush, don't order tsukemen. Because, you know, like, it could take over 10 minutes because the noodles are so thick to boil. You got to cool them down, too. And I think this will be another gripe for people, right? Just like with soba, like, noodles are in tsukemen meant to be cold, actually. That's when they lock in the flavor. You can appreciate their texture more when they're cold. So absolutely, tsukemen, of course, the soup is amazing, but you definitely get to appreciate the noodles by themselves. And a lot of places nowadays, you know, they actually recommend you eating the noodles by themselves without putting them in the soup. And maybe they might have some sea salt or something on the side, right? Enjoy those noodles first. So yes, absolutely. When they're not cooking in that soup, the texture is there, the flavor is there. And there are a lot of places, as you said, that will be like, we are a tsukemen shop. We also have ramen, but tsukemen is our signature dish, for sure.
Do you think, like, so in the Western world, the ramen boom is, like, still going on.
Yeah.
Do you think tsukemen is the next?
From what I understand, and not having had a lot of ramen, let's say in California, for example, right? I know there are a couple places in California that are doing tsukemen. Maybe there is still a little bit of that, like, why are these noodles cold? 2 stars. You know, it's like, no, that's the way they're supposed to be. You know, it's like, there needs to be a little bit of education around it, too.
Right,
same
right.
thing. Am I going to pour the soup directly on top? But I think, you know, right now you have a tonkotsu boom, probably, right? Like spicy miso tonkotsu, Japan had the same, or let's say Tokyo had the same, right? So I think it's just going to take time. Maybe tsukemen will be the next thing, for sure. All of these styles that have developed in Japan, you're going to see them you know, make landfall in the U.S., other places around the world. Maybe Skemen will be part of that. Maybe Skemen is already becoming the next thing. Yeah.
Let's talk about what you've been doing now, because I know, yeah, the pandemic has been tough for everybody. But you did something interesting that I saw on you know, for your company. You're sending ramen, instant ramen packages.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, brilliant. can you work with that? Tell me how you thought about this, and like, because you know you couldn't do any tours, so how did that come about? Were you just like walking around 7-Eleven and be like?
Essentially, that was part of it, right? I think like I rediscovered the wonderful world of instant ramen. You know, I ate a lot of it. You know, growing up, we talked about Sapporo Ichiban, exactly, right? And you know, of course, this is like a movie line, right? If I can't bring, you know, or excuse me, if they can't enjoy the ramen here, I'll bring the ramen to again. You know, it's very cheesy, but in a way, like another T-shirt. It's also going to be in the storeroom, probably. You know, until I get a better quote, which I butchered earlier. I think it was exactly that, right? It's like, okay, I didn't always plan to be involved in e-commerce, but I think, you know, COVID of course has taught us, especially those of us in the hospitality space, you know, maybe even more so, they're like, yeah, as a company you need to have different revenue streams, right? COVID has been of course horrible for a lot of us, right, in so many different ways, but it allowed me to think about like some other things, right? Instant ramen kind of came to mind because, just as you said, I'm walking around in a 7-Eleven, let's say, there are amazing instant ramen, and I think a lot of people, just like with the ramen world, right, like people often think of like instant ramen and maybe ramen in general as like the super cheap, you know, university college student, you know, soup and noodles pack with flash fried noodles, right? Yeah, you have that here, of course, but as you know, the ones that you can get at convenience stores, for example, these are famous ramen restaurants, you know? I always use this as an example. There's a Michelin star ramen restaurant with their own instant ramen. The top ranked ramen restaurant in all of Japan has their own premium instant ramen. These are not flash fried noodles. These are amazing soups because they're often separated into several packets. These are dehydrated toppings, you know? So, yeah. Nothing beats the real thing, but how far instant ramen has become is insane. Yes. Much better than when I was a kid. So anyways, like putting that together, and basically I've tried like literally over 150 different types of premium instant ramen during the pandemic.
Warrior.
I've tried to be an instant ramen warrior as best as I can, and basically sending that to people abroad, even on a subscription basis, you know, hey, this regional ramen is from this area of Japan. This ramen is from this famous ramen shop. It's been fun. It's been its own adventure.
Just plug it in, man.
Oh, for sure, yeah. So, you can buy, do the official plug.
I didn't have any ad sponsor.
If you'd like to buy, well, feel free to check me out. Yeah, instantramen.jp. If you type in instant ramen Japan, you can also find it on 5AM Ramen or Tokyo Ramen Tours. I mentioned there'll be links there. But yeah, feel free to have a look. It's been interesting, too, the whole e-commerce world.
I just saw, just to add on, like, your selection for the packages. Spot on.
Well, thank you. I try my best. And also because I'm eating them, right? Yeah, exactly. Just as you. Yeah, it's, you know, I think I try and keep probably, that level of, yeah.
Probably one of my favorite ones in 7-Eleven is the Nakimi.
The Michelin, yeah. Oh my God.
Like, I remember first time having it, I'm like, this is kind of like being at the shop.
It's crazy, right? I mean, you know, it's not just like, because again, those soup packets, right? Like because they're separating everything, you've got those layers of flavor. It's insane, right? It's like, how is this instant ramen? And that was literally like, you know, it's not just me and my sales pitch, like, you know, buy from the website. Like I'm being dead serious. When I rediscovered this world again, I'm like, what is going on here? How is this instant ramen?
I mean, just echoing back, I was just surprised that Takano had.
Yeah. Takano, there you go. One of the best places in Japan with their own instant ramen.
Yeah, let's finish this off now. What else? Are there anything else that you were thinking about doing in the future?
Yeah, there's a number of different projects in the works right now, you know, always trying to look at different ways to showcase the wonderful world of ramen in Japan. And at the moment, for example, I'm working on a number of different like ramen guides. So a more, let's say, concentrated version of, you know, what is my blog and stuff, right? Even partnering with some Tokyo ramen shops to put coupons in what will be the first Tokyo ramen guide. You know, I'm going to do several cities, but the Tokyo ramen guide will be first release, and that's going to be very soon. But basically a PDF version and also online access where you can log in and literally be like, oh, okay, in this area of Tokyo, I've got these ramen shops. This is what they're known for.
Nice.
So all the information, you know, the database I have, if you will, in a more organized format for people that are looking to visit Japan. So that's a big thing right now that's being worked
on. That's awesome. Okay. Well, this is such a logical question, but, and I should have asked this earlier, are you interested about making ramen? Like, are you?
That's a great question.
I was wondering about this before I came here. I'm like, why doesn't Frank make his own ramen?
I think I'm a much better eater of it, consumer of it, than I am a maker of it. But that's a great question. You know, of course, I've dabbled a little bit at home, but nothing to the level of, you know, these fantastic ramen restaurants that we've talked about, right? I think, you know, once that would be another project I'd love to have, just to get an understanding, right? Of course, like, you know, I've gone as deeply as I can, I think, in the ramen world. Of course, there's a zillion things to learn still, right? Even about ramen restaurants, regional ramen, whatever it is. But, you know, that's a whole other thing to dive into, right? That would only deepen my understanding of the world of ramen if I did a deep dive into
that. If you're into it, man, let's, like, do a double team action. Let's do, like, because I've always been, I love cooking, too. But let's do it. If you want to, like,
I would be down.
And, like, because I've been trying to do making my own, ramen, but ramen.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, you're right. It's just, you gotta have that water, the alkaline water. You gotta have the right ingredients are important. Fresh ingredients, good ingredients. So, and I thought about this too. Like just having like a Mel's ramen food truck.
You should. That would be fantastic, man.
You know, like,
I would be your regular customer.
Or just like make ramen here in this tap room.
Why not? where the sofas are right now, you know. I would love to see that.
I was always wondering if you were interested, because I think I'm pretty sure your community and your clients, everybody would support you for sure.
Or maybe it would be like the life is ramen is life shirts. You know, it would be like, Frank's ramen was the worst ramen I've... And, you know, jokes aside, as you said, like, it does, you know, ingredients are important. It takes a lot of time and dedication, as you pointed out, right? It's, you know, there's a difference between making ramen and, of course, making great ramen, like any cuisine, right? And it takes a lifetime in itself just to really, you know, so I didn't want to do it half-assed, excuse my language, you know, in that regard, right? But maybe like, you know, focusing on one of the elements, right? You know, you were focusing on soup to begin with, right? I think one thing I want to tackle is maybe noodles, right? Like, that's just going to be my focus, right? Yeah, noodle making also takes up less space, not as stinky. You know, you're dealing with, say, pork bones, right? My poor wife would, you know, have to deal with the smell, open all the windows, so...
I can hear her voice and then look at her face and be like, again?
I'd be like, I'm sorry... I'll go back to noodle making. Maybe I'll just focus on toppings, right? I'll be like, I'm gonna be the best negi cutter, and negi are spring onions for everyone's reference, you know.
I want to bring this back full circle to end this. I don't want to give people ideas, but like, what? I think it was a Chef Saber episode. I remember one of the ramen critics was saying, ramen is like jazz, right? You gotta play those empty spaces, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, put it back full circle.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about that La Paz bok choy. Let's do bok choy fusion, man.
Why not?
I'll study in Iloilo for a year about how to make bok choy. Come back, you work on your noodle making. Let's make this happen.
I think, like, you know, we could, you know, toppings are not something to overlook, but I think soup and noodles, right? That's going to be our cornerstone. You work on the soup in Iloilo. I will work on the noodles here. We bring, you know, those two worlds. Exactly.
And then marriage.
Exactly. No, this is perfect. We'll start, you know, with our little pop-up here. See how it goes. Invite the Filipino community.
Dude, and probably down after like a day.
That's okay though. You know, it was a grand day. You know, we had fun.
Everyone's like free, oh free.
Yeah, you know, we crashed and burned, but it's all right. You know, we were wearing life preservers. We're good. We're good to go.
Dude, Craig, I really am just so happy that you came just talk about
it's been a joy being here.
I think everybody's going to want to go check out your tours, you know, where they come there. I see that passion, man. Thank you, man.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, you have a wonderful podcast, and I'm glad that I could talk a little bit about ramen. And yeah, thank you so much for having me.
No worries, Craig. Thank you both. All right.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
For more information on the delicious ramen shops we talked about and more, and if you want to hear many ramen reviews that Frank has done, visit 5amramen.com. That's 5amramen.com. As well, if you're interested in taking one of his deep dive ramen tours here in Tokyo, please check out his websites. I'll put all the links down into the show notes. You are listening to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. For more information, questions, comments, and concerns, you can email me at japanmademepodcast@gmail.com, as well as on my social media networks, mostly on Instagram and Facebook, at Made in Japan Podcast. Thank you for listening. Feel free to leave a comment or a review, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. I would love to hear what you think about this pod of mine. Take care, everyone, and peace out.